Hey, we're back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. With the Michigan Supreme Court next week set to hear the case involving the pending November ballot proposal that would be a referendum on the emergency manager law, groups supporting the measure today calling on the court to allow the proposal on the ballot. One of those backers is Reverend D. Alexander Bullock. He's the coordinator for Rainbow Push here in Michigan. Reverend Bullock, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Oh, thank you for having me on the show.
Now, you're traveling all over the state today. You're talking to press both in Flint and in Benton Harbor, although I'm guessing these events won't necessarily impact the Supreme Court's decision on addressing the case next week, right?
No, we are moving around the state today and the rest of the week, one, to reconvene and reconnect the family. We've been fighting this fight for over a year now. Blood, sweat, and tears. We collected the signatures. Many people may not realize that this was a volunteer signature collection campaign. And so part of what we're doing today is just re-energizing the base.
So the Court of Appeals made a ruling in your favor after the State Elections Board deadlocked on whether to certify the referendum. Where does the issue stand ahead of next week's oral arguments? I mean, does the Supreme Court have to take any particular action to get the proposal on the ballot?
The Supreme Court does not have to take a particular action to get the proposal on the ballot. Really, what should happen is the Board of Canvassers should meet. The Court of Appeals affirmed that the 14-point font heading technical difficulty was not reason to keep this off the ballot. So the Board of Canvassers should meet, certify the petitions, and put it on the ballot. And so part of what concerns us is that there is a deadline of August 27th. That cannot be passed in order for this to get on the November ballot. We really don't know what the Michigan Supreme Court has to do next week that already hasn't been done by the Court of Appeals. The Board of Canvassers should just meet. This should go on the ballot. We play by the rules. We should have a chance to decide the fate of Public Act 4 in Michigan.
I'm talking to Reverend D. Alexander Bullock, coordinator for Rainbow Push here in Michigan. But tell me, though, how does getting rid of the emergency manager law really help cities like Flint or the Highland Park School District? I mean, doesn't it mean that they'll simply go bankrupt right away?
Well, one line of reasoning is to say maybe bankruptcy is what we need. But I think from the ground, the view on the ground is this. Emergency manager in Flint is making some headway in terms of making the city solvent, but the question becomes how is that being done? We're seeing water rates go up so that there are tax abatements for businesses in Flint, but many residents' water rates are going up. And so it seems that the budget is being balanced on the backs of the poor. At Detroit Public School, you know, we're seeing class sizes go up. So the district is solvent, but class sizes are going up from 41 students per class to 61 students per class. So the question becomes, when you have one man and one woman that can make unilateral decisions, if people cannot express their disapproval, there's no process, there's no recall, there's no referendum, there's no opportunity for input, and so policies can be implemented and help the financial bottom line, but may destroy other criteria.
Are you saying, though, that cities like Flint and Benton Harbor would be better off going bankrupt?
I think cities like Flint and Benton Harbor would be better off if the state of Michigan had a proactive policy that used coordinated resources from federal government and state government to provide for broad economic development and infrastructure redevelopment. We put America back to work on roads and bridges and sewers. We close the achievement gap and strengthen public education. We don't cut collective bargaining rights, but work with unions. I think that's a better approach. I mean, my fundamental problem with Public Act 4 is that it's just too much power in one person's hands. There's no real opportunity for input. It destroys the democratic institutions. And at the end of the day, You cut fire, you cut police, you cut, you balance the budget, but what do you have left?
But tell me, isn't it really only a few cities and school districts that require an emergency manager to step in? And doesn't that really say more about the local mismanagement than the state trying to take over local governments?
You know, I'm not so sure about that. A number I heard as it relates to school districts was that about 50% of the school districts in the state of Michigan were on the brink of financial instability. I think the larger cities, to talk about municipalities like Detroit, Flint, then you have other cities, Saginaw, Benton Harbor. You know, a lot of these cities are basically where they are because the auto industry almost melted down completely. And you have cities that depended upon the auto industry for their tax revenue base. For instance, if you look at the city of Highland Park, you know, when Ford and Chrysler left Highland Park, that was 85% of the tax base. Now, how do you plug an 85% tax base hole without providing for another industry coming into that area? And so I don't think you can pin this completely on local mismanagement. I mean, you have to look at the broad picture of how the state attracts businesses to the state. Look at trade policy on a national level. We have a trade policy that sends stamping plants from Michigan to Mexico. That loses 600,000 manufacturing jobs. And you have to look at foreclosure and insurance redlining, all of these things. I think there's a larger picture here. And what we need is we need elected officials. We need corporate Michigan. We need the grassroots. We need labor and faith and regular citizens to really look at a plan for positive development and not just plugging a problem and a temporary fix that cuts fire, police, and lights.
But isn't the approach really that you're talking about is investing more money in these cities, in these school districts, money that we've already seen in the past that has been mismanaged and led to the debt that they're in?
You know, I'm not so sure about that. When Benton Harbor had the riot in 2003, I'm sure folks remember that. Governor Granholm created the Cities of Promise. I think there's a lot of success. There's a successful track record that goes along with the Cities of Promise. If you talk to the former mayor of Benton Harbor and others who were part of that, many of the development of Harbor Shores, the new golf course that is controversial because of the lakefront property, but it's there nonetheless. The senior PGA was in Benton Harbor this year. A lot of that development in Benton Harbor, the new Whirlpool capital headquarters, that international headquarters in Benton Harbor, a lot of that development came out of Governor Granholm's City of Promise, which was a response to the riots in Benton Harbor in 2003. What does that suggest? That suggests there's a way to provide for economic recovery for our cities that does not require the destruction of democracy. But, there's no connection between taking away or silencing the right to vote and stabilizing the economy.
If you do get rid of the emergency manager law, do you really expect Governor Snyder and this Republican legislature to somehow approach these bankrupt cities in a different way?
I expect them to approach them in a different way if what they're saying is the truth. They say they want the best for Michigan. They say they want to reimagine Michigan. They say they care about all of Michigan citizens, not just the corporate one. I believe that if that's the case today, then they won't have a war on poor people. They'll have a war on poverty. If that's the case, they'll have an urban policy that helps struggling urban poor centers like Detroit, Flint, Benton Harbor, Saginaw. I believe that they will attack the problem in the best effective way and not just along the partisan party lines.
What about the philosophy of cutting programs, consolidating programs, finding ways to be more efficient with the money that is there? Is that approach, in your mind, just simply not workable?
No, I think efficiency has its place. I think integrity and transparency have their place. I think democracy has its place. I think we have to find a way to balance efficiency with democracy. Efficiency should not trump democracy because democracy is the cornerstone of our government. Indeed, Governor Snyder became the governor of Michigan because of the democratic process. And so must protect that in spite of trying to deal with the financial instability in the state.
One last thing. This ballot proposal, does it specifically apply to the elimination of Public Act 4, or does it also reference Public Act 72?
No, it specifically applies to Public Act 4. The ballot question is just about PA 4, Jim.
And the deadline is August 27th. Otherwise, it could end up being pushed to, what, the February ballot?
Yeah, otherwise we'd have to go to the federal level and have some kind of lawsuit against the state. I mean, and we don't need that kind of embarrassment. You know, I think Governor Snyder and the Michigan Supreme Court, Secretary of State, and citizens of Michigan, we should be able to handle our own problems. We shouldn't have to take it to D.C. to get this done. Let the people vote. You know, if they voted up, they voted. If they voted down, they voted. Let the people vote.
Reverend D. Alexander Bullock, coordinator for Rainbow Push here in Michigan, today traveling to Flint and Benton Harbor. Reverend Bullock, thank you so much for joining us on WYLS.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And we'll be right back. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.